Thank you, Father, for tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that you are God in heaven and earth. You are the God that owns everything. You are the one and only true God. There's others that want to make themselves out to be gods. There are cults that say that you can attain to godhood. But Father, we know that you alone are God. But we are your children. So we do have some. We have your blood flowing through us, and so we can say we're princes and princesses. You know, in your kingdom here, princesses. And so I thank you, Father, that tonight your words are going to go forth with power, Lord God. Father, I ask that you teach us tonight. Show us, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to see, that we all may have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive your word tonight. It's a hard word, but it's a word that's so needful. It's a word, Father, that has been hidden, that people don't understand the importance of what I'm going to speak about tonight. And so, Father, I thank you for enlightening me with this. And, Father, I ask that that everybody in this room not only be hearers of the word, that will be doers also. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. You know, tonight's title is called Tithing and Sonship. And, you know, the Bible talks about, I think it's in Isaiah 1, where he talks about, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It also says that if you rebel, that you'll be consumed. Now, and I think about a lot of this stuff. Sometimes we feel like our whole life is being consumed. Maybe our finances are being consumed. You know, what is going on here? Why aren't we living out the blessings that God has for us? Well, you know, there's so many people that say things like, well, you know, I don't have to tithe. That's under the law. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, because I think it's really, really important. Because God said part of the blessing comes in obedience. And so we need to find out exactly what we're supposed to be obedient in tonight. Because if you don't know, you know, by default, you're going to be living under the curse that you don't belong under. A lot, you know, it's like, we can't be like that ostrich that says, I'm not going to see this, so I'm going to stick my head in the sand and it'll just go away. You know, by default, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's not because there's a truth there. We need to always find the truth. Don't go hiding from the truth of God, saying, well, what I don't know, he can't hold me accountable for. You know, because that's not really true. You are held accountable because you have the word of God. And he'll look and say, well, it was in my book. Didn't you read my book? You know, so it's important that we understand some things tonight. So, and I was thinking of when Samuel went to Jesse and said, you know, I'm going to anoint the next king, and he had a bunch of sons. And he looked, and he didn't find any of the sons that was the one to be the next king. He goes, don't you have any more? You know, and Jesse's like, oh, no, I just have one left, the youngest one. He's in the field, though, tending the sheep, you know. In fact, here's a prophet in the land, a major prophet, you know, Samuel. And they didn't even think it worthy to invite David to come in to meet the prophet. You know, that's how little he was regarded. And so, but God says he looks on the heart. And so we have to realize that God's going to be looking at our hearts tonight. He has been looking at our hearts. And we just, you know, we have to change our hearts. And our heart has to flow with the heart of God and everything. And tonight, because I think this message is so important for your prosperity, both in spirit, soul, body, finances, everything, health, you know, the whole works, that I want you to be really open-minded. I want you to say in your heart, Lord, I really do want to know the truth, even if this is not something that right now I would want to do. Because, you know, God knows everything anyway. You might as well be totally honest with him. But you need to talk to him about this. And if, you know, if you feel that I am wrong, then go to the Lord. But I have proven God over and over again that he's been very faithful to me. And so there's a reason why I'm going to tell you some things tonight. And I think it's important that you listen with open ears. Now, let's go. Our first scripture is Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 3:9. You know, God, we're supposed to honor God. And in 3:9, Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, when I read that, oh, let's read the next one. I like this next one. Wow. So your barns be filled. So shall your barns be filled with plenty. That's cool. I have some. Oh, abundance. I have a little thing on the side there. What that is. And your presses or your vats shall be out. Shall burst out with new wine. Now, basically, the Lord is saying, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. So I just noticed that now. You know, not only with the first part of what we bring in as our income, or, you know, if you're a farmer, you're whatever, everything that you make, you strive to make a living in this world, you know, the first of that is supposed to be going to the Lord. But in actuality, he says, honor the Lord with your substance. That means everything. All your substance. You know, that's really clear. You know, some of these scriptures are going to be really clear tonight. And we are going to be abundantly supplied, he says there, and we will overflow. Now, that's a promise. Now, you might be saying, well, I've been tithing, I've been giving offerings, and it's not happening yet. But by the end of this series, you're going to find out why it's not happening. We're going to hit some areas that are hindering you. You know, and even pastor's talking about that. He's going to say, you know, it's not just the giving that makes you prosperous. You know, I think about Malachi when it says he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Do you realize Israel is kind of like farm country? There's a lot of farming and agriculture. It's an agricultural place and area over there, if you ever look, but I'm just telling you it is. And so, when the windows of heaven open, if their crops have been planted, guess what they're going to get? Mega crops. Remember when the two spies came out with the grapes? Two of them had to carry it on a pole. They were so big. I was thinking, wow, one grape will be a meal. You know? I was like, that was really cool. Suppose you didn't plant. What would you get when God opened up the heavens?
Nothing.
A bunch of mud. You know, so there's, I'm going to talk to a little bit about that, but it's in later classes. Okay. Now, there's two scriptures that I just wanted to, you know, they're in your notes. I'm just going to read them. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So I think I'd like to read more of that one, because I don't only have all part of it down. Let's go over to Psalm 37. Let me just start with verse 1. Fret not yourself because of the evildoers, neither be you envious against the workers of iniquity. Wasn't Sue just talking about that? Hey, you don't worry about them. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herbs. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily shall you be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord. It's like, trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. He's trying to get a point across to us. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, not only trust and delight, but commit your way to the Lord. Trust him also. Or trust also in him. Again, he's saying trust. I mean, do you think the psalmist is really trying to make a point here? And he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Inherit the earth. This earth, we're talking about this earth, this ground, this ball of dirt. We are the ones, the Christians are the ones that are supposed to inherit it. When you inherit something, does it become yours? That's right. You own it. You can do what you want with it, right? You possess it. We're supposed to be possessors of the earth. You know, aren't we co-heirs with Jesus Christ? Yeah. And if we're co-heirs, he said he made the earth and he owns the earth and the cattle of a thousand hills and all that other stuff, right? So we're co-heirs with him. We're supposed to take over and take back the ground that the enemy took. This earth was made for the Christians to inherit, you know, and yet we're not. It seems that millionaires, the non-Christians, those who do wickedness, have all the money. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to be like some of those. They have these dreams that they can't figure out, and we'll go and tell them the interpretation of their dream, and like Joseph and Pharaoh, and he gets so excited he gives them half the kingdom to rule. Like, how much money did you need for your ministry? How much did you need for your church to finish that children's wing? Hallelujah. Anyway, and then Proverbs 11:25 says, the liberal, that means the generous soul, shall be made fat. That means shall be made prosperous. And he that waters shall be watered also himself. That's a promise. So basically, the Lord is showing you here that we have to move into God's kingdom and his way of doing things in giving and receiving. He's showing us how to be prosperous. It's giving. And so that's one of the ways. So now, I'm going to take you to the book of Malachi. And but I'm only starting chapter 1. I want to talk to you a little bit about the book of Malachi. I'm going to give you a kind of a theme and what was happening here at this time. Because the book of Malachi reveals the hearts of the people after they return from Babylon. Now, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom got taken captive, okay? Because they refused to obey God and follow his ways of doing things. They didn't care about the poor and the widows, the orphans. They worshipped idols. So they went into captivity. The north to Assyria came in and took them, and the south, the southern Judah, Babylon came in and took them. So these people were in Babylon. They finally get to leave Babylon and come back to their hometown, okay? And so now all of a sudden, the temple is built, finally. The sacrifices are being reinstated, but there's a corruption going on. There's a corruption in the priesthood with the prophets. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do in the proper sacrifice, and that's where you find chapter 1. So let's go over to Malachi, which is the last book of the Bible, the Old Testament, and in verse 6. Now it says, and a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Last week we heard that the Lord Jehovah God is a master, right? Okay. Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised your name? I mean, they're saying, you know, you're telling us we're despising your name, but we haven't figured it out. Why are you saying this to us? Here it says, you offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. They may have not just said it verbally with their mouth that the table of the Lord is contemptible, but you really are saying it when you're acting like it. Now he goes on and says, now here are your actions. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept your person, says the Lord of hosts? Now, here we see the governor is the person that was in charge. It's like the king. When they went into captivity, the people, the captors would come and they would put their governors in place to run the country. It's kind of what that meant. And so when they came back, they had governors over them. And one of the things when they did the sacrifice, they had to have no blemish. The lamb or the turtle dove or other had to be pure. And so what the Lord was saying here, they had such contempt for God that they were saying, well, I'm going to just give you my leftovers. If I have to do this, then if I have any leftover at the end of the day, that's what I'll give them. Oh, I don't want to give them my best lamb. I could probably sell that for some really good money. You know, this is one that's lame over here, and you know I'm going to have to kill it and eat it anyway. I'll just give that one to the Lord. And that is what they were doing. And God was saying, is that how you regard me? Am I not, should not I be the most important person in your life? I made you. If it wasn't for me, you couldn't even breathe. You wouldn't even exist. You know, where's my honor? Don't you know that I'm a holy God? And here you act like you know that I get the leftovers. You know, God doesn't want our tips. He wants our heart. He's after our heart. And he was after their heart. But they didn't care. So we had the corruption of worship, because I think when you give as a sign of worship, when you sacrifice to the Lord, that's your worship. He says, give us the sacrifice of worship by praising him and singing to him. That's a sacrifice. And so that was the glory of God was another thing. They despised it, really. And then there was the corruption of the priesthood. The priesthood, they didn't care. They didn't care what was going on. They just said, sure, that's, we'll do that. No big deal. It's only God. And then the last thing was the tithes. They weren't bringing in the tithes. And so these are the four sins that the Lord said was not good and he was not pleased with. The priestly laxity, they were too laid back. They're too lazy. Okay? They're neglect of the tithes and impoverishment of the Levites. Because see, when the Levites were never allowed, when they went into the land of Canaan and took all the land of the giants, the Levites couldn't own any land. Because God said the tribe, the son of Levi, and all his family was to take care of the temple. But because they couldn't have any land, the tithe was to come in, and they were supposed to live off the tithe. You know, so when people will bring their vegetables and their, you know, whatever, if their clothing, you know, they bring whatever it was, you know, they bring that in, and that part of what the tithe and the offerings were was to take care of the Levites, and because they didn't own any land, the Lord didn't give them any land, and so, but anyway, it's the same thing as our pastor and ministers who minister. I just praise God that I don't have to work. Now I can spend time in the Word, like Peter and the apostles said, you know, let's get some other people to do the deacon type stuff and do the internal stuff, but let me go ahead and be in prayer and the Word so that I have something to minister to the people. If our pastor has to work full time, I mean, how are they going to get into the Word of God and really give you and teach you meat? How are they going to spend that undivided time worshiping the Lord and worshiping at His feet to get the now manna that we need? So, no, ministers shouldn't work. And I just praise God that my husband works so I don't have to, so that I can be in the Word and do what I'm supposed to do. You know, but this is why we have to tithe, so that our pastors and those who run the tabernacle, which would be our church at this point in time, they don't have to go out get outside jobs. They can mainly take care of this building, take care of your souls. How many times have you needed someone to come and pray with you or come to the hospital, whatever? They're there and they're ready. So ready to go. I mean, I have my pager there. I'm ready to go. And when somebody calls me, it doesn't matter, in the middle of the night, I'm there. And I'm ready to pray with them. You know, I have that thing on, even in the middle of the night. You know, so that's the kind of thing that the church does. And that's why it was important that the tithe come in. And so, but we find here that they were very lazy. And that's why, I think the one thing that I wanted to focus tonight on, because I think it's really important, is to find out that, I want you to realize that they had grown cold in their walk towards God. They had a lot of formalism, but their heart wasn't there anymore. And so I think it just, by not tithing, it exposed their lack of worship towards God. So, but let's go over to Leviticus 27. You know what? The tithe was God's divine right, specified by the law. So let's go to Leviticus 27. Verse 30. Okay. We're going to get into some heavy-duty stuff here. Okay, Leviticus 27. Let's go to verse 28. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote to the Lord of all that he has, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possessions, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy to the Lord. And that devoted thing is dedicated to God type of thing. To me, I think tithing is an entry-level management for you. If you can't manage, you know, basically the 90% what God says you can keep, and actually it's really less than that you really have if you're doing the tithes and the offerings, because the tithes are 10%. Is tithe 5%? No. Tithe is 10%. And so I think it's entry-level management of God's resources. So we're going to see where God will take you there. But I was looking at this word devoted. And when I looked into it, it said, this is what the definition was, shirim, I think is how you spell it, say it in Hebrew. Basically, it's dedicated to the Lord, unavailable for your use, dedicated to destruction. I thought, wow, that's interesting, dedicated to destruction. And it said, if you don't deal with it properly, by bringing it to the storehouse, it will be destroyed. That's kind of what it means. It's dedicated to destruction. You think you're keeping your tithe when you don't tithe? It's dedicated to destruction. God already said you will not ever keep your tithe. If you don't bring it into the storehouse, the devourer will come and take, and not only the tithe, 10% from your income, you get a whole lot more he'll take from you. And that, can I prove that? I mean, because this is what God was showing me that I didn't teach last time I did this class. And I'm thinking, I had never seen this before. And I said, well, Lord, you're going to have to show me this because, you know, I want to see it in another place. Because when I looked up this word and it said dedicated to destruction, I mean, that just blew me away. And I said, all right, let's go. So I went on a little search and it took me to Joshua. So let's go over to Joshua. Joshua 6. I think you're really going to be surprised tonight. Joshua 6. Now, let me give you a little idea, background here. Joshua, Moses has died, right? And Joshua's ready to lead the children into the promised land. You know, they went around how many years? 40 years, because the first generation would not obey God. And so what happened was Joshua, you know, they all died off and their children, you know, grew up. And they said, let's go. We'll take the land. They go and they take Jericho. Jericho is the very first. There's a bunch of cities, I don't know, 10 cities or so, that they were going to take. And Jericho is the first one, okay? Now, when they took it, the Lord, you know what the Lord told them to do? They were not allowed to keep anything. When you take a town, you take a city back then, you get to have the spoils. The spoils were the riches that the people have, you got to keep. You got to split it among all the people. You know, and you got to keep that. You know what the Lord said to them? You're not to touch anything. You're not to touch anything. The first city that you take is mine. You give me the first fruits of that. It all's going to go to the temple. It's going to be dedicated to the temple. In other words, what the Lord was trying to say to them, I'm going to teach you right now about tithing. Even when you conquer a city, instead of you keeping all the spoils, it has to go to me. And I'm going to put it in my temple, all the gold and the silver and everything. And you are not to touch it at all, because it's dedicated to destruction. That's dedicated to me, says the Lord. And, I mean, it's interesting. So now let's go over. Actually, when I read this, I thought I liked it with the Amplified. But you're there. You can kind of follow along. Joshua 6:17. I'm going to read 17, 18, and 19. It says, and the city and all that is in it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Now, this is what the Amplified says, for destruction. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers who we sent. But you keep yourselves from the accursed and devoted things, lest when you have devoted it to destruction, you take of it the accursed thing, and so make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now, I want you to go back just for a minute. And I want you to see in verse 18, it says, But you keep yourselves from the accursed and devoted things. In other words, don't touch anything. They're devoted to me and they're accursed. They're dedicated for destruction. You are. In other words, even if you tried to keep it, you'll be destroyed. You'll be consumed if you do. So it doesn't belong to you. Keep your hands off of it. Lest when you have devoted it to destruction, you take of the cursed thing and then the camp, the whole camp. So it's not just you. Your family's going to be affected when you touch the accursed thing, the devoted thing. When you keep it for yourselves, and you do, and very, very dangerous. Now, let's see what happened let's jump over to, you know, they obeyed, except for one family. Then you find out in chapter 7, this is what happened to the family who did not obey. Achan was his name, and he took of the accursed thing. So in 7:10, what happened, let me tell you real quick what happened. They tried to take the next town, and it's called Ai. Now, they sent, a few thousand men because it was such a small amount. of people there that was going to be real easy for them to take it. So I think they only sent like 3,000 men, somewhere in there. It says only maybe 3,000. And what happened was 36 of their men died. And the rest of them ran away because they couldn't take the city and they couldn't understand what happened. So Joshua finally goes to God and says, "Hey, you know, you take us in this land, you know, I thought we're supposed to have it all." And this is what the Lord said. You know, Joshua should have gone to God first before he went and took Ai. Because if he had gone to God first and said, "Is this okay? Do we have the green light to go and take Ai?" The Lord would have said, "No, don't do it. Because men will die because someone has taken the accursed thing." So let's go over now to Joshua 7:10. This is the Amplified again. "The Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why do you lie thus upon your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenants, which I commanded them. They have taken some of the things devoted for destruction. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own baggage.'" That is why the Israelites could not stand before their enemies. Let me just read that one section. "They have taken some of the things devoted for destruction. They have stolen, lied, and put them among their own baggage. That is why the Israelites could not stand before their enemies." You know what? If you take the accursed thing and the devoted thing to God, you can't stand against your enemies either. This, you know, God's truth is truth. What He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it says here, But flee before them. They are cursed and have become devoted. They have become devoted for destruction. See that? "I will cause to be with you unless you destroy the accursed, devoted things among you. Up, sanctify, set apart for holy purposes the people, and say, 'Sanctify yourself for tomorrow, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. There are accursed things in the midst of you, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away from among you the things devoted to destruction. In the morning, therefore, you shall present your tribes, and the tribes which the Lord takes shall come by families, and the families which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the households which the Lord takes shall come by persons." In other words, everybody was to come up, and God was going to show in front of everybody who was the one that took the tithe, that kept it. And so, you know what? Many people have done this. They have done the same thing with their tithes as Achan did. They have taken up the holy thing, the dedicated thing to destruction, and they bury it among themselves with their own possessions. And that's not good. You know, I'm with Pastor. You know, forget about the past. Ask the Lord to forgive you. You know, He's gracious and He'll put you to death. Like, this person died. You know, they had to die. It was the death penalty for what they had done. You realize they were responsible for 36 men dying? You know, I think personally, that's just me, everybody that goes to a church, Christians that go to a church, they should not be a member of the family of that church unless they're tithers, because they're keeping the accursed thing, which brings a curse, you know, upon the congregation or the whole family. Other people suffer for that. I don't think any church should have a member that doesn't tithe. You shouldn't be a member if you don't tithe. Because you're not allowing the windows of heaven to open up upon that church. I mean, can you see the correlation here? I mean, I really want you to see this, because when God showed me this, I was ecstatic. I was like, I got to do this tape over again. I can't give them the old tape, you know. But they could not stand against their enemies, and many died. And this is not common money. The tithe is uncommon money. Everything else, the other 90% is common. That's, you know, you can do what you want with. But the 10%, that's holy. The tithe, the Bible says that the tithe is holy unto the Lord. But that's why I'm saying that even if you keep the tithe, you'll never be able to use it, because it's dedicated for destruction. You think because you can't live on your tithe, I'll tell you what, if you start tithing and be faithful, you're going to find out how faithful God really is. Because He does say in Malachi that He rebukes the devourer for your sake. You know, and when I thought this was, when I saw this, I thought it was so interesting that since the tithe is automatically dedicated to destruction, that means even though you're keeping it, you're not really keeping it. You just think you're keeping it. If you're making $1,000 a month and you kept the 100, you thought you were keeping the 100, but you know what's going to happen? Things like medical bills are going to come and take it away. Your car is going to break down. I mean, all these kinds of things are going to happen because God said, you will not live on that $100, on that tithe money. That is dedicated to destruction. If you don't give it to me, the enemy's going to come, allow the enemy to come and take it. And you know what? He comes and steals, kills, and destroys. He's going to take more than the 10% from you.
Amen.
That's why it's very, very important. You walk out that door tonight, you better pray if you're not a tither and say, you know what, Lord? I've learned something tonight. Prove yourself to me. Prove yourself to me. I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to trust you in this. I mean, it's here in black and white. In red, too. The Lord. But it's the same thing. And when you are faithful with that, you know, God does do things like bonuses and, you know, all these promotions come from Him, He says. They don't come from your boss, you know. I mean, my husband was not supposed to get a bonus this year. They just laid off one third of the people. And I know it wasn't, he wasn't to get, you know, it would have been a pure miracle for him to get a bonus. And I said, well, you know, I said, Doug, I said, it doesn't matter. You know, they're not your source. Our God is. And if he wants to give us a bonus, fine. If not, we'll get it some other way. You know, we're faithful. We give tithes, offerings, benevolence to the building funds, or, you know, whatever else comes away. Well, I just gave money because I have a pastor friend in India. So we just sent him some money to help the victims. You know, so, you know what? I want to be trustworthy in God's financial realm. And since I work and desire that, you know, I know God's going to bless me. And, you know, he came to me the other day and he says, you wouldn't believe this. They just gave me a bonus. I said, that just, and he goes, they're losing money and they gave me a bonus. I mean, think about that. And I said, that actually is very amazing. and then he goes, hey, Ginny, look at this. And some of the financial stuff that we made for our 401k, we went up in 1 week like $5,000 or something we made. And it's like, you know what? God is so creative. You know, you don't have to worry. When you look to Him as your source, you don't have anything to worry about.
Amen.
And so I just want to encourage you that. And so don't allow, you know, because God is not going to allow you to touch His tithe. You will pay in the end, and you'll pay a greater price. And so, now, you know, because one of the things I realized that is God is not a greedy God. And I think when you don't tithe and you don't give offerings and you're that way, it's a mark of selfishness. And for them, that's what it was. And it was a token of infidelity. Infidelity. You know, they allowed the spirit of mammon to control them. Well, that's idolatry. They weren't being faithful to God, who is their, you know, they were, here he said, you know, I'm your father. He said, Jehovah God, I'm your father, and you give me no respect and no honor. Isn't that one of the Ten Commandments? Honor your father and your mother? And so, now what I want to do is talk a little bit about law versus relationship and servants versus sons, okay? Now, some of you have seen this demonstration before, and some of you haven't. So I'm gonna share. But what I want you to see is when God was ready to take them into the promised land, there were giants in there. These people were warlike people. Now, they just come out of Egypt, right? They weren't war people. All they did was serve under Pharaoh and build his pyramids. You know? Okay, well, you realize a lot of those pyramids were probably built by the Jews back there in Egypt? Isn't that interesting? You haven't thought about that before, did you? And so what happened was, so he said, okay, they're not going to make it unless they can be totally obedient to everything that I tell them to do, because they are not warlike, and the giants are. There's giants are 13 feet tall and 5'8", Pastor Wilson. Okay? Yeah, no, the guys are towering above the ceiling, and there's Pastor Wilson with his spear and his sword. You know what? If they did not obey what God told them to do, they would lose. So, but what was interesting is God would tell them different little things to do. 10 times he told them, and they disobeyed 10 times. And if you can read that account in the Word of God. So what they were doing is they were not doing what they were supposed to do. So God said, all right, Ten Commandments time. Moses, get up here, Mount Sinai. It's time to go on and get up. So what happened was, he said, I have to give these people law because they don't understand. And I'm going to have to tell them that they need to, if they don't obey the law, there's a curse that comes with it. You know, Deuteronomy 28, you know, read Deuteronomy 28. If you obey the law, you follow God, you're blessed. If you don't, you're cursed. And he said, all these diseases I put on the Egyptians will come on you. And so what I want to do is I want to do a little demonstration here. I have I have a Snickers bar, which is a blessing for being good and obeying God. And I have a wooden spoon. We're going to call this the curse if you disobey. And so what I need right now is I need a vile, wicked, depraved to the core sinner, some that would not obey for anything. Tanya, would you come on up? And now I need a volunteer to be Jesus. Who would love to be Jesus in here? Now you're afraid to come up. Okay. 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 Dana, come on up. You're going to be Jesus.
You're wicked.
You're wicked. And Jesus is over here, and you are an Israelite that just does not know how to obey. Now, what I want to explain to you is this is the law. Do you understand that? This is the law of blessing. This is the law of cursing. And God, what God had to do was threaten the children to obey. And he said, look, I'm threatening you. If you do not obey me, here's the law, Ten Commandments and everything else that came with it, because that's not just the law, they were just the commandments. Not suggestions, they were Ten Commandments. And if you don't obey, you get the switch, you get the spoon, the wooden spoon. But if you do obey, Tanya, guess what I have for you? The blessing. What would you prefer?
Whatever.
Sometimes she'll take a bite of the spin, and then sometimes she has to get this. But what I'm trying to say is, this is the way, in the Old Testament, they were nothing but servants. Do you understand that? They did not know how to have a relationship with God. And the candy bar was mainly because they were not mature. He had to threaten them with the stick when they didn't obey, and promised them a blessing if they would obey. You know, I don't think that, you know, that is the way God really, really wanted it to be. Do you think so? You know, now here's Jesus over here. You can't have it. You've been bad. Now, do you think... This is what the Father, I'm the Father. I get to play Yahweh. <What's her name? laughs> She's so scared. She's afraid that I'm Italian and I talk with my hands. I just keep going. But anyway. But now we come over here. Here's Jesus. He comes on the scene, right?
I learned it from my husband.
You've seen this before. But anyway, now, do you think Jehovah God, Yahweh, had to come to Jesus and say, look, you either obey me and I'll give you a Snickers bar, and if you don't obey me, I'm going to curse you with the bar. Do you think he even had to do that with Jesus?
No.
Why do you think that? Why do you think that? They had a relationship.
Yeah.
That's right. Jesus was his son. What are you? What have you become since you've been saved? Children of God. That's what God wanted to do with the Israelites. But they couldn't handle it. They did not want to obey. They didn't want to follow God. They wanted their own fleshly desires to be fulfilled. And so, okay, thank you. You both can. Do you want the candy bar? You have to split it with Dana.
I don't need it.
Oh, and I was at Sue tonight was saying, you know, in the health realm, the stick has more fiber in it. That's really the curse, and the stick is really the blessing. But anyway. But see, that's not the relationship that the Father had with the Son. Jesus, do you think Jesus ever had to have a thought that he would have to be threatened by his Father, God, to obey him? I don't think so. You know what? Everything in the sun had a heart to obey. Everything in the sun. You know what? Hey, you know, I want to share with you how Jesus thought. This is how Jesus thinks, and this is how you all need to be thinking. He believed that he was his Father's son and heir to all he had. Can you believe that? That you are a daughter of God, the creator of the universe, and that all that he has belongs to you too? That you are joint heir with him? You own it all. You should not have to be threatened with a stick or made promises of a blessing if you do such and such and such and such and such and such and you totally obey God. You should have it in your heart to obey him because he's your father. Pardon me?
Yeah, we're
so carnal. We don't understand. Now let's go back to Malachi real quick. Now we're going to go to chapter 3. 3:10. It's about the tithe now. Now let's look into this. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. That was like a dispensary in the temple, okay? That there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, then there shall not be enough room for you to receive it. And guess what he said he will do? I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. And, you know, I read that and I'm like, wow. You know what? I believe we are free from the legalistic requirements of the Mosaic law to tithe. You know, but tell you what, if you don't, you convert back to the curse, don't you? Mm-hmm. Because you kept the accursed thing among your things, your personal things. And now you have given the enemy access to you. See, when you tithe, the enemy doesn't have that access. All you have to do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, You said, if I tithe, I love you. You know, my heart is for you all the way. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. Everything I own is yours. Now, I come and beseech you now. You know, show me what's going on in my life that is causing the devourer to come in. You said you would rebuke him. I ask you to now rebuke him. You know, we actually have a right when we tithe to say that, because God said that he would. You know what? He has written the laws on our heart now. We have a heart of flesh instead of that stony heart that they had back then. He has written those laws on our heart now. And so I believe that if you don't tithe and you don't give offerings, you're missing out on a lot of blessing God has to. You know, things like your appliances won't break down. You know, how many of us has these kinds of things and we don't have enough? But if it does break down, somehow you divinely got the money. In fact, sometimes you even got the money before and you're wondering why you got it, and then all of a sudden something breaks down. God was showing you that I not only provide for you, I pre-buy, you know, provision. The one before. You know, he gives you before it breaks down because he knew it was coming. But how about the kids not getting sick so you don't have any doctor bills? How about no bad weather for the farmers? They rely. Doug's dad is a farmer. They rely on good weather for their crops. You know, if they don't get the special kind of weather they need for their wheat, there is none, you know, when it comes. And so, and of course, you know, you get all that extra income that comes in from weird sources like I've been sharing with you all along. Those are the kinds of things that God does. But it's because you've been faithful. You know, you enjoy health. You enjoy well-being. You have the joy. You know, you're walking with God. Your walk with God is closer. When you're in total obedience, and God can look in your heart and say, you know what? Her heart belongs to me. What father or parent would ever allow an enemy to come in and do any destructive work on a child that loves them and he knows it? You know, God is your defender. He will defend you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he raises up a standard against him. He's the one that comes in and said, you have come so far, you shall not come any further. You know? And so, I mean, we all go through things, but God. But I think tithing is a way that we can really plug into the plans that God has. Because, you know, you think about it, we have poor among us. Jesus said, we'll always have poor. We have missions. We have people out there on the fields that we need to, that are, you know, every time that you're supporting a missionary, You're going to have a chance because I think Doug's going to be talking about that soon. But, you know, you support a missionary and they're out there getting souls saved. It's credited to your account. I mean, don't you realize that? Because you're allowing him to be out there full time. Suppose you were the only one. Ooh, this is exciting. Suppose you're the only one that was supporting one pastor. Just one pastor. You were supporting him so that he can go out and do the work of God. And he's winning souls like crazy and bringing them in. And you're the only one that was actually supporting him. Who's going to get all the benefits? You and him. Because you're the one that was financially supporting him. Wouldn't that be neat? Yeah. So, but anyway, I don't think the Lord should have to tell us to give in tithes and offerings here. The light bill, somebody's got to pay this. This bill's got to get paid. This building's got to get paid. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's the unregenerated man, the one that is very selfish, that says, you know, hey, you know, I don't have to tithe. I don't have to tithe. And I had a little thing here that I thought was really cute. I wanted to show you this. This is the typical of a someone who just received Jesus. Well, Charles, when I baptize you, it says everything that goes under belongs to God. Isn't that right? Everything that goes under belongs to God. You belong to God totally. Yeah, he's all the way under except for his wallet. But you know what? Something like that is not good. I mean, that is really funny. I think it's hysterical. But it is true. You know, that's how our attitudes are. God, I love you. I worship you. We can stand there and worship. So don't touch my money, though. Mm-hmm. Don't touch my money. And God says, but, don't you realize that's the accursed thing? You're going to have to give it up anyway, and more so because you just allowed the devourer to come in. If you don't give me what's holy, what really belongs to me, first of all, you know, you're disobeying me. Second of all, you've already proven to me that you're not a good steward of the kingdom finances. And that means I can't trust you with more. And if I can't trust you with more, I'm not going to give you more. And so Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, of anise, and cumin, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, which is judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done," which is the judgment, mercy, and faith, "and not leave the other undone." In other words, you are supposed to tithe. You know, I want you to be doing judgment, mercy, and faith, but don't forget, you are supposed to be tithe. Don't leave that undone. So it came right out of Jesus' mouth. The tithe is holy, and the 90% is considered common, and the 10% is considered devoted. And I wanted to give you an example, and I thought, Lord, give me an example. And this is the example he gave me. Because I'm doing the house thing right now. We're building a house. We just put, you know, how much was it? $1,500 or whatever it was in an escrow account, okay, for the land. Now, we had to give that to someone in a check form. What would happen if that person, now, that doesn't belong to that person. It really belongs to us, okay? But it was entrusted to them for a time, and they were to hold that check. But it really belonged to us. Suppose they decided, without us knowing it, that they decided they're going to take it and use it without us knowing it. You know what would happen to that person now? They'd go to jail. Did you know that? They would go to jail because they stole money that didn't belong to them. It's the same thing. You are only in charge of receiving it, the tithes, and delivering it to the storehouse. That's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to keep it and put it in your checkbook. You're supposed to deliver it. You're just the agent to deliver it. A lot of people say, well, you know, it's the tithes of the law, and we're now under grace, and we don't have to do that. You know what? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all before the law. Mm-hmm. Do you realize they were before the law? So you can't say, you know, before the law they tithe, during the law they tithe. Now we're in the age of grace. Would grace give more than law? I think so. Mm-hmm. We're under grace. Grace should always give more than law, guys. Grace should always give more than law. And that's how God really wants it anyway. He shouldn't have to lord it over your head to support your local church. He shouldn't lord it over your head, the candy bar or the switch or the wooden spoon to get you to give. To give your tithes that are holy to the God. And the pastor shouldn't have to bribe you every Sunday. He should say, tithe times and offerings, give as unto the Lord. And we ought to be in a celebration to give because it belongs to God. He trusted us with it. We got 10% to give him. Hallelujah. You know, we had a paycheck this week. And we should rejoice. And it's part of our worship. And so, you know, Jesus is a better covenant under Jesus with better promises. Why would we only want a tithe? You know, people say, well, Jimmy, are you saying you don't believe in the tithe? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Not only do I believe in it, more so. You know, my goal is to give more than the government takes from me. And I did. I exceeded that. That was actually my goal. And I said, I don't want the government to take more of my paycheck than I give to the Lord. And that was my goal. And I exceeded it. Praise God. I think that's cool, personally. So, when it comes to tithe time, does God have to use the switch or the candy bar? Servants are under the law, and sons are free to be bond slaves. You know, those movie stars, you know, they give. They give. You know what? A lot of times they give because they know it's a tax exemption for them. They need those coverage, you know. And besides that, they want to get the glory, so they make it known that they've given. You know, sometimes I wonder how many of them would give if the government said, well, you have to pay tax on the money you give. Doesn't matter. You don't get any tax exemption whatsoever, and your name is not going to go in lights for it. You have to do it in secret. I wonder how many would do it. Because that's what God's asking us to do, isn't he? We still have to pay tax on the whole thing, don't we? Mm-hmm. And then we bring the tithe to God. And then we do it in secret. We stick it in an envelope and give it to him. That's really the way we do it. And so, but anyway, are you giving with the heart of a son or a servant? I want you to look at Tanya was the servant and Dana was the son in this thing that I did. You know, you have to say, God, I want to give like a son, like a daughter. I want to give like a family member. And if you stay under the tutor of the law, God will never trust you with financial stuff. He can't trust you. You know, because you never know what you're going to do. He doesn't know what you're going to do with the income. He can't even trust you to give back what belongs to him, what he already said is holy. I know, I don't want this to be a condemning one. This was really important. That's why I took a little extra time. Sorry. You get 45 minutes today in your class. But I wanted you to really understand this because I care about you. And I know that even though you might be keeping the tithe, you cannot do that. You are allowing the devourer to come in and take the devoted thing because it was meant for destruction. You can't have it. And you will never have it, even though you think you kept it. And so I want you all to be blessed by God. That is my heart. I want God to show you how big he is in your life. And I don't want the spirit of mammon controlling you. You know, God is your source, right? Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. I thank you, Father, that you have enlightened us for some things here, Lord God. You know, Father, we just thank you that grace is always more generous than law, and that we, Father, are going to give with a heart as a son and as a daughter, as a child. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to be able to trust each one in this room with your wealth. I thank you, Father, that you have opened up our eyes to see. And I thank you that you have exposed a spirit that has been holding us back from receiving your wealth. And I thank you, Father, that you now will be able to open up the windows of heaven and shower blessings upon us, Lord God, because we are learning how to be obedient as your children, not as your servants, but as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.